Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 22. 2 Chronicles 22. Then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place, for the band of men who came with the Arabs to the camp had slain all the older sons. To Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Now Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. And he also walked according to their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to wage war against Hazael, king of Aram, at Ramoth-Gilead. But the Arameans wounded Joram. So he returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which they had inflicted on him at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Aram. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. Now the destruction of Ahaziah was from God, in that he went to Joram, for when he came, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it came about when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, he found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers ministering to Ahaziah and slew them. He also sought Ahaziah, and they caught him while he was hiding in Samaria. They brought him to Jehu, put him to death and buried him, for they said, "He is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart." So there was no one of the house of Ahaziah to retain the power of the kingdom. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the king's daughter, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, and were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was a sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she would not put him to death. And he was hidden with them in the house of God 6 years, while Athaliah reigned over the land. Amen. This is a very twisted, sad story. So Ahaziah, remember, he's the youngest son of all the sons, but the rightful heir, because all of his brothers were murdered. They're all killed. And so he's the only one basically left standing. And he's in this place, and he's quite young when he comes into the throne, but he doesn't last very long. And primarily because of his mother. In verse 2, it says, Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. That's just there to let you know that she comes from a very evil lineage. If you remember Omri from the other passages before, did evil in the sight of the Lord. I mean, really, really evil. And so, unfortunately, she has Ahaziah's ear, and so she leads him to continue the worship of the Baals, the Phoenician gods, that also Ahab does. And in fact, even more than just following after foreign gods, she actually incites her son to be in a treaty with Jehoram of Israel, who is connected to Ahab's family. Now, while all this is happening, there's another decree happening by God, where God has commissioned Jehu to actually come and destroy the house of Ahab. So these things are kind of happening simultaneously during this time. And so Ahaziah, unfortunately, allies with Jehoram. And you won't really get this in the text, but if you break this down, the Arameans is actually more the archers. And so this is, again, one of those really, really crazy stories where the archers shot their arrows, and it just so happened to hit Jehoram in a certain place. And you can imagine the king would have the best armor. I mean, just the best of everything. But yet he was still struck by this random arrow. I think we saw other, like a couple chapters ago, we saw other passages like that as well, where just seemed out of the blue. You know, like it shouldn't happen this way, but it happens. And so thus God's justice is rendered to Jehoram. Well, Jehoram actually goes and he basically finds comfort with King Ahaziah, and so their alignment even goes to his death. Jehu shows up on the scene, and remember, he's given a commission to destroy the house of Ahab, which he basically goes to do. And so he just goes after, he's trying to wipe out this seed, this evil seed that had really infiltrated Israel and really the Israelite camp. Because now we see Ahaziah also part of this. So Jehu goes to war against these guys. Now, simultaneously, another act is happening. Athaliah, who is, remember, the granddaughter of Omri, she actually decides now that the only way that she's going to be able to preserve her life, and I mean, you can imagine how wicked and how evil is this. The only way that she gets to preserve her life, because Jehu is coming after her, the only way that she can remain alive is actually to kill everybody else. And so she does it. She kills everybody. Everyone that could possibly have any ascension to the throne, she totally wipes away. I mean, you know, she kills her own kids. She kills, you know, like her nephews. I mean, this is like really, really evil what's happening. And thus, she stands in the throne, because now, not only is she queen mother, and, you know, and rightfully so, if the next king, then, you know, their mother would obviously take over as queen mother. So she didn't want to lose her position. She didn't want to lose her standing in any way. And so she murders her whole family. But in the midst of that, and this is always kind of, you always see the hand of God, the redemption of God, underlying a lot of these things. While all this is happening, Jehoshabeth, this is the king's daughter, takes Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and he steals him. And she's connected to the priesthood in that she's the wife of Jehoiada the priest. And so that's that connection. So what happens is, it says in 12, it says he was hidden with them in the house of God. The priests, there's an inner court, there's outer courts, there's outer walls that happen. And she basically lived within one of those outer walls. In other words, they were protected from the queen. Lay people were not allowed to go into these places. And so, you know, we can see how God, I mean, literally hides Joash. And then we'll see Joash in a little bit, and actually next chapter, ascend to the throne. And I mean, you know, as a commentary on this chapter, I mean, a lot of death, a lot of treachery, a lot of political maneuvering that's happening here. But it reminds me of Jesus's teachings to us about the devil in the book of John. And remember, he says the thief only comes. In other words, his only job is to rob, kill, and destroy. And you notice whenever demonic worship, whenever there's all kinds of different, I mean, you can see that the hand of the devil, it's always theft, destruction, and murder. And that's basically what you see through this story. So here you have this young king, unfortunately, listens to his evil mother's advice. So he starts a wrong alignment with another evil king, and that leads to this path of destruction. And I think that, I mean, it's not just a king's family, but I think that happens to us today as well. It all starts with an unhealthy alignment. It could be, you know, young, and I've seen this so many times, young ladies at church that really, really want to, you know, love and serve God, you know, but at the same time, really, really want to get married. And so what do? They start with the wrong alignment. They align themselves with, you know, a man who's not a God lover, who's not God fearing. And it always starts that way. Paul tells us bad company corrupts good morals. And there's something about that initial alignment that starts to take place that really leads to a lot of bad negative things that happen. And that's what happens in this case here. It could be people are really, really, you know, businessmen are really under the pressure to make money for their company and all kinds of things. And so it starts with a bad alignment. You know, it starts with a business transaction with people that they should, you know, never be in business with. But it's that greed. It's that desire, the lust for money. And next thing you know, that alignment leads to destruction. And so we have in this case a very similar idea, bad alignment. And now, unfortunately, Ahaziah gets lumped in with Jehoram as Jehu is rendering the justice of God. It's really, really a sad, sad case. You know, and I wonder, you know, as I read Ahaziah's story, you know, he was only king for such a short time. But I wonder if you, when you read his story, you think about what if he had good counselors around him? You know, what if he had surrounded himself with godly men and women that would speak into his life? I'm sure his life would be totally different. You know, what if he didn't align himself, you know, with Jehoram? You know, what if instead that he actually sought after God and followed the way of his father Jehoshaphat, but then he went a different route? You know what I mean? These trends or these outcomes that happen, it all starts with little decisions that we make. It all starts with a little bit of compromise here. It starts with a little bit of tolerance for sin. And slowly these things begin to take its shape in our lives. And next thing you know, we're on that road to destruction. We start off by taking the counsel of people that we should never take the counsel of. I remember one time a young lady came to my office, you know, an SP-er came to my office, and I guess she had been talking to other SP women, not very mature ones, because you'll understand is, you know, why in a moment. And she came and she was kind of new to our church, and she was really troubled, you know, and she was saying, you know, Pastor Sam, I've been getting this advice. I've been getting this advice from people, and they told me, it says, hey, you know, whenever you go out clubbing, you know, you should never buy a drink for yourself. You should always let the man buy you a drink, you know, and on and on. And I mean, just so many different advice, you know, and make sure that he's got a lot of money. And, you know, and so on and so forth. And obviously, as a new person coming to church, and she, you know, she's been listening to my messages, she's starting to recognize that advice sounds a little funky. You know what I told her? Really simple. I said, you need to get new friends, right? You need to, like, lose those girls and don't listen to them because they're stupid. I mean, they have no idea what they're talking about. You need to go find some new friends and forget that counsel. And I was actually shocked, you know, that some of our girls would counsel other young girls in such a stupid ways. But that's the whole thing. Shut that out. You know what I mean? You don't have to be nice. You don't just say, hey, you know, your advice is actually very, very ungodly. And so, you know, I'm going to go and find godly advice, you know, from godly women that will speak into my life. And particularly, probably I should go get advice from women that are actually married, you know, that actually have some success in relationship, instead of you guys that are just going, you know, bar hopping every night. I mean, how dumb is that? But don't we do that? You know, don't we always find ourselves getting counsel from people who should not be giving anyone any counsel? But it always starts there. It starts with a little bit of disalignment, you know, a little bit of pandering, and next thing you know, we are rendered coming under the judgment. Now, this passage, not this chapter, But it ends up pretty well in that sense that still God keeps a remnant there, you know, for him. And so let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Who is in your inner circle? Who speaks into your life? Is it your pastor? Or is it your yoga teacher? Who are we allowing to speak in? Are we getting wise, godly counsel from people who are actually doing it and living it? Are we primarily getting it from our friends who are not giving us godly counsel? The road to destruction starts with a little step. A little step of compromise. A little step of really following unwise counsel like Ahaziah did with his mother. Well, who are we aligning ourselves to? Remember, again, the devil the only comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And Jesus gives us the flip side. He says, but I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. That road leads to death, and Jesus Christ offers us not just life, but abundant life. And as we sing, let's meditate on that truth, and let's go before the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Let's give God our best. And our best starts with little decisions. Our best starts with not compromising on those little things. It's those little alignments. It's those little choices that we make. All those add up to something bigger. And I go and get back to that question I asked before we sang. Who's in your inner circle? You know, where are you getting your inspiration and your advice? Is it godly leaders and godly people around you? Is it the scriptures? You know, or is it your horoscope or Time magazine or whatever it may be? Let's pray this morning. Let's go to our prayer focus, and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer. Let's pray for their therapies, and really for many of them, it's just their decisions on which therapy to take. Let's pray for the wisdom of God. Let's cover. Let's pray for our community battling through illness, but also they need to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for that word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China. Let's cover our churches in Beijing and in Shanghai. Pray for our pastors and their families. Let's lift up the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents, and just pray for the churches, especially in the midst of heightened persecution. Let's pray that the gospel would still be preached powerfully. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask God's hand among our leaders. Pray for a real spirit of wisdom and revelation for each one and protection over their families. Let's cover our fellowship ministries, our young adults, our Yaman and Yahweh Eats. Pray for our men's ministry, our Monday prayer, and for our women's ministry. Let's pray that they would finish the year strong and they would keep connected to one another. Pray for SP 2.0. Pray for our building and resources. Continue praying a benefactor. Let's continue to pray for our vision fund, that it would continue to grow and God would really continue to bless. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our house churches tonight, Blue Pool, Causeway Bay, Line Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood, TST, and Ventress. Let's pray for our leaders, our hosts. Let's pray that every person gathered together that would really meet with God and really meet with one another. Let's lift up. And lastly, let's just pray for the Manila team that's out there right now. Pray for the leaders. Pray in the midst of a very exhausting schedule that they'll be able to finish all of their work with joy and administer to the kids and the staff very well there. Let's lift up. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you, Lord. Lord, I think it was Shakespeare or one of the writers that said that the road to hell is filled, God, with good intentions, Lord. In the same way, God, that we can say, Lord, that the road to destruction, God, all starts, Lord, with just some very small decisions that we make. And Lord, I pray that we would be very, very wise, God, to take heed in the scriptures. That we'd be wise to surround ourselves with good, wise, godly counsel, Lord. God, and that our allegiances and our alliances, God, would not lead us away from you, but actually lead us towards you, Lord. God, bad company corrupts good morals, Lord. And so would you help us to align ourselves in the right way? We thank you, Lord. We love you. This morning, God, we pray that you would continue to fill us up by your Holy Spirit, that we would do all that you call us to do today, God. We thank you. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.